There it is. Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, Chairman of the Board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and it is class is in session. Gonna do some learning and actually just lots of stuff to bring in because Johnny and Jacob, you know, one of our favorite guests who introduced us to all the cool things going out in the CESA 4 region of Wisconsin. And for anybody who's like, what is that? Out in the woods in rural Wisconsin. Holy crap, who knew what they were doing out there? Nobody knew except for the good people doing that. And when we found out, we're like, man, we got to spread the story of what's happening. And our first person who helped us do that is our guest today. Welcome back to Busted Pencils, Brittany Walls, CESA 4, Liftoffs, LinkedIn. Man, you know, turned us on to some great guests from leaders in the school district. But welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me back. I was trying to remember, like, how many times is this number three?
I was going to say it's at least three, if not four.
All right. All right. Yeah, we've come a long ways in those four times.
It really is. You know, I mean, what's happening with you guys? You know, like when you know, we have Mike Bigley on, right, to talk about the things that are happening there. It's really, really exciting because, you know, I made the comparison, and, you know, you and I have talked about this offline a couple of times, but it's like, hey, Mackenzie Price, Alpha School, they're doing really cool stuff. It's $40,000 a year. And you know what? And everybody's like, well, yeah, look what they can do for $40,000 a year. And we've been saying, yeah, you want to see what they can do in public schools? Check out CESA 4 Liftoffs and your partners there, Brittany. I mean, you know, and that's why we want to keep bringing you guys on so much, is to point out that public school, public rural school, you guys can do all kinds of stuff when you have, you know, visionaries and leaders like you and Mike and all of the other teams. But so Liftoffs, what's going on with Liftoffs? Give us the news.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, we are literally, yeah, we just realized, we're like, wow, we just celebrated a year anniversary. You know, December 6th, we brought together like 50 educators and principals, and we were like, hey, we have this crazy idea, you know, bear with us. Are you ready for this? And we were just so blessed to have those teachers like say, yes, we are going to full trust in you. We are building the plane while we are flying it. Quite literally, there is no playbook for innovation in education. Really, there isn't. And so we really thought, like, if this is good for rural schools and rural students and it's working for our teachers and our communities, why the heck should we keep this at CESA 4? And so we just announced ourselves as an educational intermediary, so taking it as a nonprofit so that we can actually scale across Wisconsin and any other state. And work collaboratively with other partners, because there are other people across the United States doing just as incredible things with their agencies or with their intermediaries.
Nice. I mean, so yeah, remind people too. I mean, you know, Liftoffs, and you know, what is it that you know, brief summary, Liftoffs. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Ooh, brief summary. Ooh. Really, we talk about, it's like really a mindset shift in education. We're breaking the mold on what traditional education always was, which was time-bound, artificial limits on students, on teachers. We've almost taken the professional autonomy out of teachers by saying, here's this canned curriculum, follow this script. We know kids are sitting in desks, so disengaged. So Liftoffs was just really looking at education in a new way. So really, really highlighting what are the core competencies that kids really need to be good human beings, and how can we rebuild education around the things that AI is not good at, like creativity, empathy, human connection, critical thinking. If those are really our core foundations of education, how can we rebuild a system that actually values those things? So using AI, using platforms to provide some of that like basic tier one instruction, so that the teachers are freed up to actually do more project-based learning, more interdisciplinary connectedness, more hands-on, more, you know, youth apprenticeship models. So that's in a nutshell what Liftoffs is. It's really just a mindset shift and more professional support and a framework for districts to follow.
Man, see, Johnny, you know.
Well, yeah, Tim, you're always, Tim's come a long way, Brittany, convincing me, you know, to at least attend services at the Church of AI, which he attends. And I know we've talked a lot on Busted Pencils about, you know, that educators are showing us really great examples of ways that AI can be a tool for both teaching and learning. And together we can figure out some really creative and innovative ways that, you know, make teaching, you know, like you said, creative, personal, relationship-based. And that AI helps bring, you know, a dimension to that process. Can you share with our listeners and us, you know, some of your favorite stories of recent, where, you know, where teachers have been able to have that aha moment where they're like, yeah, this is actually some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, the list is endless. We obviously would have just gone through our winter benchmarking. So just hearing teachers like, holy cow, I didn't actually think that this was going to work, but seeing that I have 50 points average growth on my STAR assessment, right? That's one. But that teacher also implemented something called the Building Thinking Classrooms. We have another teacher who got a Fab Lab grant. And so she has her students on Alex Math for a very small chunk of time within her middle school classroom. And then the rest of the time, the kids are actually in the Fab Lab engaging in the design process. So I was in there the other day and the kids created, they were 3D printing roses where they were actually going to then start an entrepreneurial business and showcase those roses at the local Quick Trip. So showing how there can be those bridges with community, with schools. I mean, the list is endless. I think it's just walking into classrooms and seeing kids engaged. And it's not like this, I'm sitting and listening to my teacher talk at me, but I'm actually the invested learner here in this classroom. I think that's from all the way down from kindergarten all the way up to seniors in high school, really reclaiming what does it look like and feel like to be in the driver's seat of education.
I love that. And, you know, for so many of us often, you know, latecomers to the AI discussion, it's immediately we hear AI, we think, oh, ChatGPT or just, you know, staring at a screen. And, you know, what you're talking about here is so much more of an embracement of technology as a tool mediating really great relationships between teachers and their students. So I love that you're helping us broaden. By us, I mean Johnny on Johnny. The side of the camp, the educators who are like, wait, AI, isn't that that chat bot that the kids ask to cheat on their homework? You know, no, it's actually so much more in the way that technology can really radically reshape, you know, the way that we do schools and focused around relationships like you were talking about. Brittany, I love that because it's broadening our understanding of AI. So how can you just, you did in your story, you explained it, but I think maybe just being so close to it, you guys see it differently. For our listener who is like me thinking, oh, AI, that means ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. Can you just kind of give a 101, like the differences between the tools? I know as a math teacher, Alex, like these are really tools that aren't new and that really help to, you know, strengthen learning and individualize learning plans.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's anything from Alex Math, which obviously is not really AI for kids, but it's AI on the teacher side, right? Like literally able to create pathways and individualize instruction all the way down to some of the creativeness. Like some children didn't know vocabulary terms. They were working with their English curriculum and really struggling with vocabulary terms. So the teacher just plugged in those vocabulary terms and said, for each child, what are you interested in? Give me your three interests in life. And then boom, they had an individualized poem for every single kid. And the word was feral. Like no one could understand, what does feral mean? Like, what does that mean? And it's like, once you started to hear that in a sentence. And so we think of this like idea of personalized learning, like kids are on a screen, kind of probably like the Alpha School, right? Like that's teaching them. But AI is just truly about even giving the teachers a tool to individualize it for the students. There's tools, but I feel like the term emerging technology is not getting enough kind of like clout or showcase. It's really the word AI, but emerging technology in terms of what we are doing to prepare our children for the future is far more expansive than just AI.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'm going to be using that term more often, emerging technologies that puts AI to use, because it's pretty powerful. And thanks, Brittany, for sharing it, because it really complicates in a helpful way that discussion of how are we using AI in schools. And most listeners, I mean, even myself, I think, oh, I can't even imagine how annoying that must be in the classroom. But it's really the way that that emerging technology is integrating AI tools into it to really empower teachers and students.
Johnny, but you know, and yeah, wow. You it sounds like you might be going to the confessional at my church pretty soon here. You know, I don't know, but what really comes across here though too is that, okay, it's AI, emerging technologies, whatever it is. The reality here though is the human centered, and they have this on their website, but the whole idea of actually questioning and in one way tearing apart the status quo of what it means to go to school, that's not AI driven. That's humans with leadership and vision that are saying, you know what, man, school just isn't working in that way. Great, we've got a new technology, we're going to use that and it's going to help us. But to me, it really comes down to the reason why I get so excited about this is because it demonstrates that with bold visionary leadership from people, you know, alive people, you know, not androids and stuff, you know, AI pretty much sits there motionless, you know, faceless with nothing. It's when people feel and see an opportunity of going, you know, we always, and I've said this too, this is where I say, it's like, man, I always wanted to individualize instruction, but man, it was hard, you know, and it still is hard, but AI gives us this ability. Brittany, you gave that great example, you know, and I always break it down into, you know, when I was teaching fifth grade and I had kids reading at the second grade level all the way up through the eighth grade level, you know, 25 kids individualizing instruction. Hey, guess what? We tried it, but now, like, I could have taken those reading passages very simply and just simply said, hey, you know, take this down a little bit to a second grade reading level. And this is the part I really like what you did. And based on the fact that I'm going to give this to Brittany and she loves golf, let's throw a little golfing into this. And there you go, right? The personalized, that's what we're talking about. Brittany.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would read that if it was about golf any day, right? No, and I think like it seems so simple. It seems like such a like switch. But honestly, like Wisconsin Public Schools, we lost almost $700 million in vouchers last year. And so with 66, I believe, million going to just two virtual learning academies. So I think, you know, we need to step back and say, like, how can we human center and really truly maximize everyone's human capacity in the system itself? So a part of LiftOffs isn't just the AI, right? It's about empowering the educators to become those professionals that have that professional agency and autonomy to do what's best for their kids and really truly get to know them. Because at the end of the day, we just ask our educators, who do you want your kids to be when they leave Whitehall or Aliva or Elma, Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. And those really should be those North Stars that we that carry us through, right? That, like, you do everything in our power to get kids to be that way and not this robot that can regurgitate that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, right? Like, I'm sure you guys all know that, right? Great. Yeah. Woo. Yeah.
I was just actually thinking about that.
I'm sure. Yes.
But yeah. And that's, you know, again, that's where it really, you know, comes home. And you know, you made a comment too, test score gains. Right. And I can hear somebody going, oh, well, you know, so, you know, and typically somebody said, well, you want to raise test scores, you know, we got to do a whole bunch of extra tutoring, test prep and stuff like that. And boy, I'm never going to have time to be a cool teacher because I'm spending so much time on test prep. I'm hearing you going like, but our teachers have even more agency now.
Yeah, the test scores, you know, it was one of those conversations of like, you know, we obviously know standardized tests are almost an outdated measure of what success looks like. Like, if we're truly redefining what schools look like, we also have to redefine what success looks like for kids. And so, yes, that's maybe not on a standardized test, but I think standardized testing keeps us honest and keeps us getting feedback that we know is what we need to keep moving us. And I mean, obviously people want to see that. I know our teachers do because it's been like such a thing that they have been put in front of, like, you have to get these test scores. So I think, like, just, I've been doing some preliminary data, just test scores are coming in from many of our schools. And one of our ELA teachers who embraced Course Mojo in her ELA class, it was one of the lowest performing classes in the school district. And eighth graders, ELA, right? Eighth grade boys, ELA yeah. class, probably yeah. not typically like the place you want to be. as of this morning, her gain was 57% growth. So I mean, pretty incredible. I mean, pretty incredible to see. Because she's also really, really putting the human skills in the center of her class, like collaboration and communication and hands-on, deeper levels of learning for her kids.
See, Johnny, I told you, man.
Yeah, like I said, I've been attending services, and I've seen, like, this stuff really working. And part of it is, you know, what Brittany shared and what the great guests we've had on who are saying, hey, here's how this is making our schools better, who are strengthening, you know, student learning, but also just community. When we're talking about when our public schools get stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Our whole community gets stronger. And that's essentially what we're doing here, is sort of, you know, like opening it up, saying if we find something that works, how do we share that? How do we, you know, get that word out? How can we be a story that, you know, empowers communities all over? So Brittany, thanks for what you share. You know, thanks for your whole LiftOffs team, these four, everyone who's been guests on Busted Pencils, but especially for the teachers and the students who have given this a go and who are saying, hey, this really works, right? Those stories mean so much.
You know, and with that though too, and it kind of come back, you know, trying to also take the opportunity to address what this is versus what it's not, because I think sometimes, and in fact, Brittany, I'm referring to the presentation you just did yesterday. So when people hear about, you know, technology in the schools, AI and stuff, it automatically then gets lumped into, you know, just excessive screen time. And, you know, Johnny and I just did an episode too on, you know, the rise in loneliness and of kids all through our K-12 system, and showing a really strong link to screen time. And for people who are listening, so that they don't get the sense of, oh, so LiftOffs is, you know, all about that, tell us the difference, because you were making the presentation, and it was fact the digital dilemma, raising and supporting kids in a tech-saturated world. Help people understand why what Liftoffs is doing is not the same thing as excessive, wasteful, depressing screen time.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's multiple things there. But really at the heart of it is we put devices into kids' laps throughout the K-12 education system as a response to obviously this increase in technology across, and thinking that was the best practice without really giving any thought to like the technology and how we were using it. So typically teachers are using technology merely as a replacement for paper pencil, right? Taking a quiz, writing a paper. So a lot of the ways that we're using technology is all passive in our school system. What we're really stepping back and saying is we want to be intentional with the use of technology. How can we really uncover and untap those future ready skills? Because we know that like the World Economic Forum is saying like the number one skill kids need is AI and big data and, you know, cybersecurity and networks. So how can we really start to have technology as and put it into the active driver's seat? So things like coding, things like Makerspace, Tinkercads, design, drones, like all these things, right? The emerging technology piece versus technology just being used as that replacement. And honestly, the word technology has gotten such a bad rap with this these Gen Zers, because it's just social media. It's not screen time. Like you and I sitting here on a computer, it is the social media that's really the cause for concern with our kids.
Yeah, that's it is to know Liftoffs is not giving kids more and more access to Facebook. but I mean, you know, and that's why, again, we want to have the show and we like to get this out there, because we really, you know, our neighbor, when they hear about the damaging effects of screen time, and then they hear us talking to people like you, like Mike Bigley, you know, they might go like, well, geez, you had one episode where you were bemoaning screen time, and then you're having another episode, and it sounds like you're, you know, lifting off or lifting up screen time. And actually that's not what's going on in CISA4 in the schools that you work with in Liftoffs.
Yeah, correct. I would say it's the exact opposite. It's like, how can we get kids to intentionally use technology and screens? And thus it's actually less screen time, because we're actually asking teachers to say, we really need to human proof education. Like, how are we developing those durable skills and competencies that kids are going to absolutely need? So, I mean, I always equate it to, I think we were talking earlier, Tim, just like the idea of like when the internet came out, like I have an internet driver's license and I still have it, right? it's a picture from my sixth grade year. Like I had to have this driver's license to even access dial-up internet in Bruce, Wisconsin. But nowadays we give kids these devices, and a lot of times it's happening at home, and we shut the door and we don't, it's like a playground and there's no supervision for these kids. And so a part of what we do too is really, really ensuring that at the forefront is we're giving that AI literacy. So before even kids interact with the Khanmigo chatbot on Khan Academy, what AI literacy were they provided to know that it's not a friend, that it can make mistakes, that there's bias, right? There's misinformation and hallucinations. So I think we're just trying to ensure that the kids have the tools and the skills to actually succeed in a world that we have no idea what it's going to look like, and let alone, you know, 30 days, let alone 5 years from now.
Hallucinations. Oh, man. Johnny. No, I'm not saying, you know, but the person, the teacher centered, the student connections, because it really is that, like, I think when you said, Brittany, you know, less screen time, because, you know, to do the things that you're doing actually requires collaboration.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny.
Well, yeah. And Brittany, this is exciting. Appreciate your time and for sharing all this. And before we hopped on the show, you were sharing too some success. And even though this is relatively young, like you have some indicators that this is working, not just anecdotal stories, which we love here on Busted Pencils, but you're seeing some data return of what's working. And so being a young organization, this is huge. This is helpful. And would you like to share any of that? Like how you know it's working and what are some of the exciting things that you're all learning as an organization?
Yeah, so we actually are super grateful to have the support of the American Institute for Research. So the AIR, which is obviously such a national landscape for educational research and providing that data and support, they offered internal grants to their researchers to develop an AI network within their actual organization to explore and study what does it look like in terms of the landscape of like plopping AI in K-12 education. So Liftoffs was lucky enough to partner with three amazing researchers, independent evaluators with AIR, who are doing rapid cycle evaluations. So it's not just us looking at, you know, like you said, like the feel good stuff, like that stuff is great when you walk into classrooms, but the actual data say it's not just about a screen. It is about everything else that you are doing that increases student engagement, that increases teacher efficacy and teacher belongingness in the classroom nowadays. Like actually the feel of like, I could stay in this profession for, you know, however many more years, and I've been in it for 35. So the stories are great, but like you said, having that partnership really starts to solidify it. And that's why we took this as an intermediary, because it shouldn't just be about the students in CESA 4. Like if this is truly about innovation and education, then we really have to start thinking about how we can scale that nationwide or at least across the state.
Love it. Love it. So Brittany, somebody's listening right now and they're going, I want to do it. I'm in. Where does a teacher or a CESA director or a principal or a superintendent who's listening and is like, okay, I've heard Brittany four times, heard Mike Bigley twice, and I'm in. How does somebody start to even begin to move in this direction?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been at a number of education conferences, so I'm guessing they've heard us. however, we do have a website. It's just Liftoffs with an S, and then it's learning.com. Or they can send us an email, and my email is pretty easy. It's just bwalls@cesa4.org. We just love to have those honest conversations because this isn't for every district either. And we are 100%, we know that, right? Not every community, not every board is ready for this level of change, but it's this level of change that's going, what's needed in order to kind of push us into the future and save almost, I hate to say it, but save public education from our blockbuster moment.
That really is it. When you're talking about, you know, teacher, you know, well-being, belongingness and feeling like that just goes back to, you know, the research I was doing in 2014, 15, that, you know, where I was pushing on saying like, quit calling it a teacher shortage. The reality is that teachers are leaving. It's an exodus. And every, you know, 90% of the 450 plus teachers I interviewed back in 2017 and 18, you know, they, when I asked, well, what would make you stay? It came down to, well, you know, I want to be allowed to teach. I want to have agency. And that's what, it's not really the AI that you guys are doing that really excites me. What excites me is the sense of changing the narrative back to teachers being leaders, principals being leaders, superintendents, making school, public schools in particularly too. This is the other thing. You know what? I mean, I always hated the competition narrative that's like, well, you need school choice, that'll make your public schools get better. Well, okay. You know, we see that the money's headed away from public schools. We do have the research that a lot of times that money's not really going to a better place. But boy, what you guys are doing, I mean, I gotta think that at some point open enrollment in Wisconsin, people are like going, how do I get to CESA 4?
Yeah. I mean, I talk about that with my kids' school too. I'm like, man, my kids don't even go to a school that's a lift bus district. So I mean, selfishly, I'm like, how can they? Right. So just good conversations. And I think you know, you're right. And that's been some of the best data that we have collected is just those teacher testimonials. You know, to hear teachers that have been in the field and they're like, hey, yeah, I don't see me retiring. I was going to retire and I think I'm in it for at least two more, three more years, right? You have Mike Bigley who could, you know, as a superintendent could be the same way. And he's like, I'm just getting started and having fun. So, I think those stories keep us going and the reason why we do what we do.
Well, we're not just getting started. We're going to make sure we keep it going. Our guest, Brittany Walls, CISAFOR, more importantly, Liftoffs. We'll have all of this contact info in the show description for everybody to make sure that, you know, you can also get moving in that direction. Man, teachers saying, I want to keep teaching. Love it. Brittany Walls, thanks for busting pencils.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was great to see you guys.
And now it's time for your moment of zen. Voting is easy and marginally useful, but it is a poor substitute for democracy, which requires direct action by concerned citizens.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils, class in session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at BustedPencils.com. Hey, and don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday with homerooms, class in sessions, and always loads of fun with Jacob's Producer's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You know you can always catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.